Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Having a great time cruising on a Thursday afternoon. And you know what makes Thursday afternoons better, Matt Douglas?
What's that, Bull?
Talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus of the Cleveland Indians Radio Network, and we're going to do that right now. And every time we talk Tribe with Rosie, it's brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center, right off of Walker Road. You can try a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They've got several sandwiches for you to choose from as well. They've got awesome fresh-cut fries in my wheelhouse, maybe not Matt's, but mine, those sweet potato fries, which are out of this world. You can find out more by visiting Erie Burger Company. Again, they are right off of Walker Road in Avon Lake Town Center. Rosie, it's a pleasure to have you on as always. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Well, we are lovely now that the weather has decided it's finally going to break, even if it only is for a few days. And boy, speaking of breaking out, the Indians offense did that last night and didn't necessarily need the long ball in order to do it. I want to start with something I know that you've fielded before, Rosie, but I've got to ask, you know, we get this question quite a bit. You know, why have the bats been a little bit slow out of the gates? I contend that the weather had a very, very large role in that. In your mind, how much of the Indians' struggles offensively had to do with the weather?
Well, you know, some of it dates back certainly to the first road trip, and the weather was fine. But I will say, since coming home, the amount of hard hit balls, and not only for the Indians, but whether they're playing the Royals or the Tigers, they just didn't go anywhere. And I mean, they're ones that a month from now when the weather warms up, they're several rows into the seats. They wouldn't carry because it's so darn cold, and also the wind has been blowing in. So it's frustrating. I think you look, Ty Van Berkley, the hitting coach, pointed out, you know, he got some great numbers from the analytics department, not necessarily for us, for you and me, but to show his hitters that their approach has been good. They're hitting the ball hard. They're just not getting results, which happens over the course of the season when it's early on and you look up and there's not a batting average over 200 on the scoreboard. It's hard to deal with, but I don't think anyone was really worried about it because of who the hitters are and their track records.
And I think it's interesting that you say that because, you know, just watching the games and listening to some of the games, I think that's been evident to me anyways. And I was at the game on Saturday, and I want to point to a specific example of what you were just discussing. I want to say it was in the seventh or eighth inning. Frankie Lindor had gotten on base again. Jason Kipnis came up with Lindor in scoring position, and he hit a rocket to left field. I don't know that he could have hit it any harder in those conditions. And, you know, game time temperature for Saturday's game was 35 degrees at the first pitch. And John Jay in left field just made a nice play on the ball. He made a nice play on the ball, got a great jump on it, raced back, and he ran it down on the warning track. And I sat there and thought, I don't know what else Kipnis could have done in that situation. But people are instantly going to say, well, they can't hit, or they're not hitting very well. But that's not true. Just because you don't record a base hit, or you don't hit a home run, or get on base, that doesn't mean you're not hitting the ball well. And I think another guy that you could point to is Jose Ramirez. Now, he's hit the ball a heck of a lot better in this series against the Tigers. But that's another guy, Rosie, who had a ton of loud outs when he was in the middle of that slump.
Yeah, and that's the key. If they're having good at-bats, not chasing pitches out of the strike zone. And there was a little bit of that, but believe me, and I know it's hard from a fan's perspective sometimes to be patient and know that eventually things will even out. Hey, if we're here in August and Lindor is hitting .178 and Ramirez is under .200, sure, then you're worried, but no, trust me, nobody is worried about anybody in that lineup right now because they feel like their approaches have been good. And I think we saw last night, you know, it was a nicer night weather-wise. They didn't necessarily hit the home runs, which is okay, but they just had good at-bats and got their base hits. And I think offensively, this team will be just fine.
Rosie, you hear about how mental the game of baseball is, and I don't know how much the players listen to people talking in the preseason and all, but the Indians are a heavy favorite to win the division this year, and after a bit of a rough start out there against two very good AL West teams, does it bring some satisfaction to the Indians, obviously, to win this series, but does it create that mindset that, yeah, we're where we're supposed to be when you win those first two series in the division in the style they've done? I mean, the bats haven't necessarily been there, but they're still getting the victories over division foes.
Well, I, you know what? I think there's different points in time in the season where you look at that maybe more than others. I really feel like early in the season, players are they're trying to get their feet under them. And obviously the pitchers have done a great job at that. The hitters aren't getting the results that they want, but you're really battling to win games right now. And that's probably the biggest takeaway, not necessarily the opponent, but the fact that the Indians haven't hit a lick, and yet they're a couple of games over 500, which is pretty darn good. I mean, it could have been a disaster if they didn't get the good pitching and the good defense. So I think that's really more what they look at, as opposed to, hey, it's great to win division games anytime, so that's certainly a bonus. But in terms of the Indians really, you know, saying, hey, this is a big series with Detroit because they're a division opponent, mm-hmm. I don't think that's the case. There's some familiarity there, obviously, and you want to play well in the division, but saying it would be a bigger series to beat the Tigers as opposed to beating the Mariners on that opening weekend, I don't think so yet. Maybe a couple of months down the road, yes.
Sure, Rosie, when you say that this is the time of year where hitters are kind of trying to figure out their stride, trying to get comfortable, trying to get in that flow, so to speak, does it give them that extra vote of confidence to have the pitching staff pitching as well as they are right now to say, hey, we don't have to have great games every night, we can get this figured out?
It takes some of the pressure off, that's for sure. I mean, they want to pull their weight, obviously, sure. But I think they know that while they're trying to get it rolling, the pitching has been there, and then they talked about it last year when they were hitting well, that you know, a lot of times their runs would come from the fifth inning on, and it would be a close game early, but they knew there's nothing worse than being down 6-0 early and trying to dig out of it. That's hard. So I think there is a measure of relaxation, which is important in this game for the hitters, because they know it'd be great if they can score early, and they actually have. When they have scored this year, it has come fairly early, but you know, I think for them it does make a difference knowing how good the pitching is, that there's not that pressure where they have to go out and score 9 runs a night.
We're talking Tribe with Jim Rosenhaus, brought to you by Erie Burger Company, here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And Rosie, I think since we last spoke, Michael Brantley has come off the disabled list, and I think if nothing else, it says a lot about his presence in the middle of the batting order, just how balanced, at least on paper, this team appears to be. Because when you put him in the middle, I think it allows Terry Francona to move some other pieces and parts around to put guys where perhaps they're a little bit more comfortable as well. What kind of an impact do you think he has made not quite a week since coming off the disabled list?
It does make a difference. You're right, just bumping another hitter down in the lineup, it does make a difference, because the reason you're doing that is for a productive bat in the middle of the lineup. And we've seen him clean up fifth, somewhere in there. Last night, solid RBI base hit for him late in the game. He makes a difference, and it's a good professional at bat. A lot of times it's a longer at bat, so whoever's hitting behind him gets the benefits of that. So it does make a big, big difference. And you just, when you look at the lineup card, it's a deeper lineup with him in it, and that helps.
Rosie, last night, you know, the Tribe received another sensational pitching performance from Carlos Carrasco. He's now 3-0 on the year. He went the distance last night. You know, a lot of what you hear about with his effectiveness is with that little split change, and I think that's really worked wonders for him, really since he seemed to turn that corner a few years back. You think that's really the pitch he goes to more than any other? Maybe if he's looking to get ahead early, when you watch that pitch on TV, sometimes it could be tough to pick up on it, to know exactly when he's throwing it, unless it's mentioned. But that really seems to be the pitch that gets discussed more often than not when you talk about the success he's had, again, since he turned the corner.
Well, when he has a big strikeout night, you can point to that for sure. Last night, not an inordinate amount of strikeouts, but I thought last night his fastball command was really good, and he worked inside on the big guys like Cabrera, Castellanos, and Victor Martinez with his fastball, and then that sets up that pitch that you're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, for him to be able to know that if he gets ahead with his hard stuff, that he has that weapon, that changeup in his back pocket, it's a big deal. And his breaking ball was really good last night. He throws a curve and a slider, and they both looked awfully sharp. He was getting a lot of swing and miss on that. So I think that's the big key for him is his fastball command is good, and then his secondary stuff is very good, and especially that changeup that you're talking about.
And it's such an incredible tool for the Tribe to have to see a guy like that who could be an ace on most staffs. He's the number two on this one just because of how good Corey Kluber has been, not only in his first few starts this year, but we know how dominant he's been in years past as well. I want to focus on the guy that's getting the ball tonight in Trevor Bauer. I mentioned I was at the game last Saturday, and I was blown away just by how incredibly good he was. And Roseby, he's been great. Really since the All-Star break last year. I know he was working on that slider in the offseason, and you know, it just seems like he has got a full arsenal at his disposal, and a guy that has just looked so good, again, since the All-Star break last year, in the early stages of the season. Can you pinpoint one or two things that have really been working well for him?
Well, that big looping curveball has been good, and that new slider's been pretty good, too. So, you know, an addition to his repertoire, which I think initially you think, well, what does he need another pitch for? Because he throws quite a few. But really, I think for him, you mentioned that strong second half last year. His command has been better, and just his understanding of setting up hitters, what works well, following the game plan. He works very well with Roberto Perez, and that's a big. And it's interesting because he had a start in the spring where. He was shaking him off quite a bit, and I think they talked about it. And then, you know, Roberto said, "Look, just try it. Just follow me for a little while. Let's see how it goes." And it's gone well. So occasionally he'll get away from that, but I think when he can stay with the game plan that they set out, and use the pitches that he's effective with, that may be working that day because they don't all work on the same day. But you know that. The curveball, I think that'll always be his calling card. If his fastball command is good, he's going to be fine. And now he does have that new slider, and he's not afraid to throw it. So maybe that's why, like, when you come out early in the season like you did, and he's so impressive, that may be a big reason why.
Rosie, you mentioned Roberto Perez right there. Yesterday during Indians warm-up, you spoke with him, and when you talked about the team going to Puerto Rico to play this upcoming series against Minnesota, I know it's a little ways away, but you could hear the joy in his voice. Of course, the proud Puerto Rican, as are a number of players on the Indian squad here. What's this trip? I mean, these guys really seem to be stoked for this opportunity to go play Minnesota and be goodwill ambassadors, so to speak, for the MLB.
Yeah, and it's been interesting because when they announced it last May, it was exciting for Roberto Perez, Francisco Lindor, Sandy Alomar gets to go back home too. But then when the hurricane hit late in the summer, I think that changed the dynamic of this visit. For a long time, there was some question as to whether the games would be able to be played down there because of some of the struggles they were having getting back online in terms of power and water and all the kinds of things that you need, and they're still going through that. So I think it's taken on an added importance, and Major League Baseball said, hey, you know, we need to honor that commitment and make every effort to play the games down there. And from what Roberto was saying yesterday, they'll be sold out. It'll be a good couple of days and give folks on an island who've been through a lot for a long time, 6-7 months now. I think it'll give them a little break from that, and hopefully some good things happen too, because on the off day Monday, I know different players will be out and about doing some different service projects, and it really should be a good trip, and I think it comes at a good time for the folks down there.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, no question about that. Well, and it comes at a good time for the Tribe also, because while the temperatures will touch 70 degrees or so, they say, maybe into tomorrow, and it might even be in the 60s over the weekend, Rosie, what you guys take off for Puerto Rico, they're talking about a couple of inches of snow perhaps on Monday and temperatures dropping into the 30s again into next week. So the trip comes at a pretty good time for you guys as well as you get to head on down to Puerto Rico and enjoy some consistently nice weather in 80 degrees. You've got your gear already?
Yeah, we're all set, and it's amazing just how up and down this spring's been here. And you know, fortunately, the Indians were able to open on the West Coast and at least have a week of good weather. Some of the teams in the division, like the Tigers, the White Sox, even the Royals, they've had very few games in what you would call baseball weather. So we'll treasure the next couple of days, and hopefully it turns quickly while the team's on the road. And by the time they get back, we'll be back to the good stuff.
Good stuff indeed. Rosie, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll do it again next week.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
Thank you again. Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Brought to you again by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. You can get one of their many handmade sandwiches. You can get a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They've got fresh-cut fries. They've also got those sweet potato fries. Make sure you visit Erie Burger Company. We'll step aside, take a break. Matt and I will come back right after this. It's Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL.